Well, brethren and sisters, it's lovely to be here with you this morning as we come together at the end of a very exciting week, we might say, as the country we live in has made quite a remarkable decision to leave behind the European Union. And we have it at the start of our chapter we read in chapter 12. We have mention of the 12 stars, which is quite amazing, isn't it? That the symbol and the flag of the European Union. And people are feeling happy and sad, aren't they, around this country because of that result. But one thing I want us to think about is that we ourselves should be of good cheer. We might be excited as well as to what has happened. But we are told by the Lord Jesus to be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And that's what I'd like us to think about. And if we take nothing else away, it's that we should be of good cheer because of what the Lord Jesus has done. And Jesus spoke to his disciples that they might have peace in the Lord Jesus. And he says, in the world we might have difficulty, we might have tribulation, but he says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And that's really our situation, isn't it? Because we have our daily battles. We have struggles. We have tribulations. We fight against our own selves. But Jesus has overcome. He's overcome temptation and sin. And because of that, we've got to be happy about that. Turn with me, please, to Revelation in chapter 12. And there's a lot here about prophecy, but I'd just like to take out a verse here in response, verse 9, to this great dragon and a loud voice that came in heaven. Now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God. The time is now come for the Lord Jesus to return, you would say. And the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by what? By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives until the death, and so on. Well, what helped them to overcome in that battle? Well, it was the blood of the Lamb. That helped them to overcome. And really, in our lives, that's exactly the same, isn't it? It's the Lord Jesus and it's the blood, and that has helped us to overcome. We're not saved by anything else. Nothing in our life really matters. What car we have, what clothes we wear, or whatever house we live in. What really matters is that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. He is as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And as Jesus suffered, he leaves us the example that we must, in our individual lives, try and overcome our battle and with temptation. Turn to Revelation 13. And we can see here that there are certain situations where we might not overcome. We might not. Because we have mention of this beast now, rising up out of the sea. And I'd just like to look at verse 6, a terrible situation, opening mouth in blasphemy against God. And we get a lot of blasphemy, don't we, in our daily lives. And blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell with him. So it's quite a negative force. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and nations, or tongues and nations. So here's a danger, a warning, isn't there? That there is evil in the world. There is temptation. And we've got to be wary of that in our individual lives as we walk to the kingdom. But there's a wonderful blessing, isn't there? We could look at so many of these verses about those that overcome, because it's at the end, isn't it, to every one of those letters right at the start of Revelation. He that overcometh will be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Turn with me now to Revelation chapter 5, where we're just taken to the vision that the apostle, that John receives in Patmos. And we come across a problem. We have the Lord God Almighty sitting on the throne in heaven in this vision, and he's holding a book sealed with seven seals. And there was no one to open it. Verse 2 of chapter 5. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. So a strong angel, whatever we might think one of them is, makes, you know, a strong voice maybe, but he makes a proclamation to find someone, but no one could be found. And John weeps. Verse 5. One of the elders says, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed, hath overcome." And because the Lord Jesus has overcome, we're able to open this book. He's prevailed to open the book. He's prevailed to open those seals and to loose the seven seals thereof. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and in the four of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. So it's only the Lord Jesus that could have opened that book. It's only he who's overcome. And naturally speaking, you know, a lamb wouldn't seem an obvious choice if you're having trouble opening or closing a book. And we might think about the wisdom of God and how we're told, aren't we, in Corinthians, don't deceive ourselves. If we think we are wise in the world, let us become a fool that we might be wise. But Jesus, he's described, isn't he, as a lion in verse 5, and now as this lamb, who is the last thing that you would expect, wouldn't you, as a conqueror, as someone that has overcome sin and death, appearing as a lamb. But that's the wisdom of God for us. It's only a lamb that's found worthy to open the book. So why a lamb, brothers and sisters? We know the message was sent and signified. So the symbols and ideas we get here aren't placed there without a reason. We've got to sometimes dig back, even though we might not get the answer first time. But it's important that we try and look back to see what the Bible has said, especially so with Revelation, to help us. Turn back with me to John in chapter 1. And incidentally, it's the same author that writes this book. And we have some wonderful words here in John 1. And of course, we get the baptism of the Lord Jesus, don't we, after his birth. And we get John the Baptist being quizzed about it. And the people asking him, you know, "Are you the Christ?" Verse 20, he's not the Christ, he confesses. So all these questions are now coming to John the Baptist. Verse 25, and they asked him and said to him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" Jesus answered them, or John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." So we get a teaching of John the Baptist here, don't we? The preaching. He was baptizing in the wilderness. And we know that John the Baptist is the forerunner, you know, just before the Lord Jesus. But he didn't consider him worthy to even unloose his shoe to even take it up. But he suffered it, and he baptized Jesus to fulfill all righteousness. And John was very aware of the role Jesus came into the world for. He was the Messiah, wasn't he? The Saviour. But straight away, you might notice the parallel with the Revelation account that we read. One that stood there. That's exactly what the Lamb was doing. And John was not worthy to unloose the shoe latchet. And it's only the Lamb that is worthy to unloose the seals in Revelation. So we get a wonderful underlining, really, of the Spirit word for us, that Jesus is the one referred to in Revelation. John the Baptist wasn't worthy, and none of us are worthy to unloose the shoe of Jesus. And it's only Jesus, because he's prevailed. He's the one that's overcome for us. Look at verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. So quite clearly we have Jesus being described as a lamb. And straight away, when we see this lamb in Revelation, we shouldn't be surprised, should we? Because we've been told by the word of God. This Lamb of God, this man, he's the one that's worthy, isn't he? And we're reminded that it's in the victory of Jesus that our sins are taken away. They're removed away by the blood of the Lamb of God. Now, I'm sure if I asked you, where else should we turn to think about lambs or that type of idea in the Bible, we could find some more in the Old Testament. And we get that, don't we, with Abraham and his son Isaac, where he says, Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And we get that wonderful response, My son, God will provide a lamb for a burnt offering. What a wonderful response from Abraham from a rather difficult situation for him, taking his son to kill him. But we know from Hebrews that he believed in God, that God was, you know, he counted that God was able to raise him even from the dead. So Abraham had belief that God would provide a lamb for a burnt offering. But we know a lamb wasn't provided then. It was a ram caught in the thicket. And as he was in that moment about to kill his son, he was stopped, wasn't he? And at that time, it wasn't ready for the lamb, was it? God didn't provide a lamb. Isaac wasn't the one who was worthy. That role was to be reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who takes away the sin of the world. Just turn with me quickly then to Exodus in chapter 12. And we'll just have a brief think now about this idea of the lamb. And it's very central, isn't it, to anyone who was a Jew and the idea of a lamb. And the need for a big sacrifice and for them to be saved. And none other than the Passover and that feast that God instituted. And it really signified the start of the year for them, the Passover did. In Exodus 12, it's the beginning of their calendar. You get the beginning of months in verse 2 and verse 3 in the 10th day of this month. You've got to take a lamb. So at the start of the year, they had to take a lamb into their house. And everyone was to obey it. Verse 5, Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. He shall take it out from the sheep or of the goats. So you might not even get a lamb there, it suggests. But the idea of a lamb that was brought right into their house. And verse 6, you shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month. So they had the lamb with them and living with them for those moments. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So 5 days later in the evening, the lamb was to be killed. And they were to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorposts in verse 7. And strike it on the upper side posts of the doorposts of the houses where they shall eat it. And then they were to eat this Passover meal and get themselves ready to leave Egypt. It was really important that they did that. And with their shoes on, fastened on, and their staff in their hands. And if they had blood on their doorposts, then they'd be saved, wouldn't they? The angel of the Lord wouldn't destroy the firstborn. Because they'd responded to the word of God, they realized the need for the blood of this lamb for them to be saved. So how much more important it is for us to realize the need of the blood of our lamb. And every time they kept that feast, they would be reminded of their deliverance. That in the death of a lamb, they escaped the judgment of Almighty God. So let's just go to John again, and John chapter 12. Just moving on a few chapters. John chapter 12. Just a few little verses here. We've just had Lazarus been dead. He'd raised from the dead. And he wasn't the lamb who was slain like Isaac, but the power of the resurrection gave him life. And verse 12, we get this next situation. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, what did they do? Well, they took branches of palm trees, they went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna. Save now. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Quite wonderful words. And we know how the crowd can change quite often, can't we? In this country, crowds change. But here there was wonderful joy when the Lord Jesus came into the city. Into Jerusalem. It was a Passover feast. Just as the Passover lamb came in, Jesus does exactly the same. He goes into the city of peace. And he was there in the house, as it were, 5 days before the Passover. Amazing picture of people just taking down trees. Maybe not for some people, but they put them in the way and they laid the path for the Lord Jesus. Yet Jesus was only too aware that he still had to, you know, take part of a lot of tribulation so that he himself was to overcome. It wasn't over there for him yet, was it? Turn now with me to Revelation in chapter 7. Just coming back again to Revelation, where some of these ideas are mentioned for us. And here we find another great multitude. Here we've got 144,000, this symbolic number of the children of Israel. And then in verse 9, you get a great multitude. After this, I beheld, and lo, there's a great multitude in verse 9, which no one could number. All nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hand. And they cried, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and of the Lamb. We could carry on reading, couldn't we? But it brings us directly, doesn't it, to this time when Jesus goes into the city and they take palm branches down. Well, this is exactly it, isn't it? And we're being reminded of the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And this crowd here gathered are so happy that what the Lord Jesus has done, that they can be reminded of that occasion and give praise and glory to God, who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And that reminds us, doesn't it, that we get our salvation through the Lord God, and of course through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Verse 14 of that chapter, they're being told, aren't they, the wonderful praising of God, verse 12, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. And then it mentions the clothing, doesn't it? What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence come they? And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So, and because of that, now that they are before the throne of God and they serve him day and night in the temple. And it's a wonderful picture, isn't it, of those that have overcome through the blood of Jesus, through great tribulation they've got through. And that's really what we've got to be reminded of. Be of good cheer. It's through much tribulation you will, you know, go through our lives in the world. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome. And that's a message we get from Jesus. He's the one that's overcome the world. And because of that, we can have robes or clothing in whiteness. What might seem impossible with man is possible with God. And we get a wonderful picture. Verse 15, therefore are they before the throne, we said, day and night in the temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a wonderful picture we get. And we're reminded that it's the Lord Jesus, he feeds us. It's no one else, is it? And we come in bread and wine to be fed. There will be a wonderful change, won't there, in the kingdom we look forward to. No more tears. So it's the Lamb that's overcome. And we get reminded of that in Revelation chapter 17, which I'll read. You can turn there if you like. Revelation 17. And we get these ideas coming together a little bit. This Lamb of God that we've mentioned, verse 14, and this battle, isn't it, with the Lamb. And Mystery Babylon the Great is fallen, this woman and the beast and so on. They shall make war with the Lamb, verse 14, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And that's important, isn't it? We are called. Well, we're called here, aren't we? We've all responded to the word of God. But we've got to remain faithful. And we've got to come to God. We know the Lord Jesus has overcome. So we don't always overcome, do we? We're reliant on the Lord Jesus, and we think of him at this time. But just before he went to be taken and went to the Garden of Gethsemane, we're told that the sheep would be scattered. But it was only the Lord Jesus that kept going. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We get in John 16, verse 33. And it was only the Lord Jesus that kept on going. So, what have we got to do? And how should Jesus as the Lamb make us behave now? What attitudes should we have as a result? Well, we should remain faithful, shouldn't we? We've just read that. And we should look forward to the kingdom, be kingdom-focused people. We should follow the Lamb and walk in his steps. We're reminded not to give up on our daily battles with sin and death. We can only get our victory through Jesus who's overcome. I'd just like us to turn to 1 John chapter 5 here, because it really drills home this message of how we can overcome. Because we don't, do we? That's really a key thing you might say to me. You know, we fail, and that's a problem we have. But 1 John in chapter 5 and verse 3. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And that's something we've got to try and continue in our lives. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And we do believe. That's one of the key things of our pillars of our faith. Jesus is the Son of God. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's about our belief. Are we going to hold on? Because if we don't hold on, when the Lord Jesus comes back, our faith will have gone. So faith is absolutely critical for all of us, for us to overcome. We've got to be there when the Lord Jesus returns. We've got to be there waiting. And we've got to try and keep on coming each week to remain faithful. And that's what we've got to try and do. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that it's Jesus who's the Lamb who's been unfolding these seals. He's been given all power and authority. He's not sitting there doing nothing. We know the angels and the Lord Jesus, you know, there's a lot of work that's being done, we might say, behind the scenes. But we know, don't we, that it's the Lord God that rules in the kingdoms of men, and it's he who gives it to whomsoever he will. It's the Lord God that is overseeing all these events that we're seeing happen before our eyes. Whatever we might think. But it's remarkable, isn't it, that even those in our brotherhood, I don't know how many years ago, were saying that Britain, you know, we can't remain in the European Union. And now, here we are, after that vote on Thursday. But we know all things work together for good. We know it's the Lord God that is in control of these things. And the Lamb will return. But we're reminded that we must keep faithful. And it's really our faith that helps us overcome. It was exactly the same for Abraham, as he had to offer his son. If he hadn't got faith, if he didn't believe that God could raise Isaac, well, where would he be? Well, that was critical for him. And it's underlined, isn't it, in Hebrews chapter 11. We don't choose this life lightly. The decision to get baptized for all of us was a really important one. And God does rejoice in everyone who repents and turns to him. And our Father does know how to give good gifts. And he gives us lots of good gifts every day. And much more as we look forward to the kingdom. And that's really a key message from Revelation. There's a lot of good gifts in there for those that overcome. And if we keep on fighting in our battle, there's a lot of good things to come. And I can't read all of them now because we haven't got time. You know, but to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Will I give a white stone. We've already thought about the new clothing in white raiment. And I won't even blot your name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angel. We haven't got anything to fear if we walk in faith. Because the Lord Jesus will confess our names before the Lord God. And we know the Lord is looking down upon those that fear him. He encamps around those who put their trust in him. So God knows what we're doing. And it won't be a surprise if we are determining and resolved to keep on in the path to the kingdom that the Lord Jesus will tell the Lord God not to blot our names out. So we come to remember the Lord Jesus, don't we? And there was no fault or no blemish in the Lord Jesus at all. And that was said, wasn't it? And there's nothing worthy of death done in him. And there was no fault in Jesus. He was a perfect Passover lamb. And Herod and Pilate, they could see that as well, but it wasn't to be for them to stop him and being taken to the cross. We have, just quickly, I'll read you a few words in Luke as we just draw to the Lord Jesus being taken to be crucified. Luke 23 and verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." We are, in other words, worthy of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And really, that's what we come to, don't we? We come to those two malefactors who were worthy of death. And really, that's all we are worthy of. But the Lord Jesus wasn't worthy of death. But we read that it was in the resurrection of the Lamb of God. It's only the Lord Jesus who came, and he was the only one who is worthy to open the book. I'll just close now with a few words at the end of our Bibles in Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 7, we get this idea back right at the end, this picture of a new heaven and a new earth, where there will be no more pain or sorrow or crying, and the words of he that is true and faithful write these things. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What wonderful words, and we read as we end this book. As Jesus overcame sin and death, let us follow his example and his attitude to obey the Lord God. Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So right there, right at the end, we've got the Lamb and the bride, who we are all gathered together, and all the faithful of old will be part of that bride and to be joined together with the Lamb. And then again in verse 27, there shall be in no wise entering into it anything that defileth, neither worketh, or whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. It's only those who keep the faith. Only those who keep the faith will be allowed to enter into the city. A wonderful city where there'll be no sin, there will be no death. Wonderful, good gifts that our God gives us. But now we remember the Lamb, don't we? Slain from the foundation of the world, without spot and blemish, whose blood outpoured upon the cross, so that God's wrath might pass over us. So we remember the Lamb, don't we? Who said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.